Please be seated. And we are in Philippians chapter 1. This is one of four letters that Paul wrote from prison. And for us to be able to get a handle on what Paul is teaching us, it's always good to get some context. And as you're turning to Philippians chapter 1, I wanted just to draw your attention to something, and I would encourage you that this week you would read Acts chapter 27 and 28, because this talks about Paul's final journey from Jerusalem to Rome, where he would go before the Roman authorities and testify about Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 28, 16 says this, and if you can imagine, this is where Paul is writing this letter from. It says that when we got to Rome, and the author is saying we because he is with them, it's Luke. When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. These soldiers, I'll talk about in a little bit, but they are one of the Praetorian Guard, and they would have been shackled to Paul. Any prisoner under Roman captivity would have someone who is always with them. And the last two verses of the book of Acts say this, that for two whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented quarters and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. It didn't matter what circumstances Paul was in, he was still going to give glory to God through those circumstances. And in fact, it was because of what he was doing in living out the mission of Jesus Christ that he found himself in prison in the first place. And I want you to imagine that here Paul is, he's in his own rented quarters, he's in a sense under house arrest, and about every 6 hours he would get a new guard to come and be shackled with him. And each of these guards, as they're with Paul, living with Paul, eating with Paul, sleeping with Paul, I don't know if bathing with Paul was even a possibility, but they were there together with him 24/7, one by one. And as they were there in Paul's rented quarters, people would come, and they would allow people to come and visit him. People like Timothy and other leaders from the church, or just people who wanted to hear the gospel from Paul's own mouth. Could you imagine being a guard shackled to Paul and having Paul say, you know, I'm not a prisoner of Rome. I'm actually a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I've been arrested by Jesus. And so day after day, you know, in your 6 hour period of time, you might have people come into Paul's rented quarters and Paul's just sharing with them the message about Jesus Christ. And what's Paul doing? He is simply living out the great commission that Jesus gave his disciples up on the mountain, telling those 11 disciples to go make disciples. And for Paul, Jesus' great commission could be summed up like this. Two words, preach Christ. Preach Christ, that's it. I mean, it just plain and simple, preach Christ. I want you to think about it this way. Preaching, you know, a lot of times we go, okay, I'm not a preacher. How many of you, you know, I'm not a preacher. I'm afraid of getting in front of the public and talking in front of public. I can't make speeches. I can't do that. Can't do what you do. You know, we put so much of a stigma on preaching that here's what this word simply means. It's just sharing publicly about Jesus. Publicly could mean just one-on-one, could mean in a house situation. It could mean, as they were doing, they were sharing about Jesus out on the streets and telling people how they can be saved. This word just simply means this, to announce a message publicly and with great conviction, and doing it with exactness, a precision. And that precision, you've got one message, Jesus. You know, I've got these candle holders in my office, and it has these five symbols on them. And the message of Jesus, about Jesus, could be summed up like this. There's an arrow pointing down, and you could put this in your notes, but the arrow pointing down, he came. He died. He was buried in a tomb. He rose again, and he's coming back. And you could let that be a guide for you about what to share about Jesus, that, you know, Jesus came and he lived and he healed and he taught. And so we can share the message of Jesus Christ, those messages that he shared with people one-on-one, in smaller groups, teaching his disciples, or in large crowds where he's feeding thousands and teaching them about the kingdom of God. We can tell people about the fact that he willingly laid his life down for us by hanging on a cross. But death could not hold him, for after 3 days he rose again. And he's coming back for us. He said the promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's essentially preaching Christ, sharing Jesus. What I want to do is, as we're going through this together, I want to read and teach through verses 12 through 18. And these are the three things that I want us to take a look at this morning. One, what circumstances we preach Christ. What motivates us to preach Christ, and the results of preaching Christ. So we'll look at the circumstances, we'll look at what motivates us, and we'll look at the results. Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. He says, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. He's talking about the situation that he is in right now, that he is in prison. There are letters where he shared with them about what he went through, that he had been, there were times where he was flogged, he was beaten, he was stoned, he was left for dead. There were some times where he was naked, he was hungry, he had been shipwrecked. I mean, all of these situations that he shared, it's like any one of those we would find to be extreme difficulty, right? And yet he says, listen, these circumstances that I am in have actually advanced the gospel. Now, this word advanced means to blaze a trail. And what the Roman soldiers would do is that when they were moving from one place to another, they would have people out in front of them who would, instead of kind of going around woods, forests, that kind of thing, they would make a straight line, and if they had to go through the woods, then they would level the woods. They would cut trees down. They would remove any obstacle to go from point A to point B. And Paul is saying that the circumstances that he is in is actually blazing a trail. So I imagine Paul being shackled to this soldier. Say, hey, this is what you guys do, right? You know, I'm using this word here, and yeah, that's exactly the word. And so, you know, he's writing Philippians, shackled to this guard, possibly asking him, hey, is this what you do? You blaze a trail through the woods. You know what's happening? Oh, by the way, let me just share with you what's happening. The reasons for why I'm here, it's actually blazing a trail for the message about Jesus Christ. That's interesting, Paul. Okay. But one by one by one, we see something begin to happen in the Praetorian Guard. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. I'm not chained to Rome. I am not chained to this culture. I am chained to Jesus Christ. And it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard, throughout the entire praetorium. The emperors recruited and trained some of the fiercest fighters to protect them and to go into battle with them. I mean, this is like Delta Force. Some of us guys were thinking about going together and going to see American Sniper together. But you just think of the best of the best of the best, and that's what these guys were. They were tough. They were feared. And one by one, 6 hours at a time, as they're shackled to Paul for 2 years, they hear Paul's message about Jesus. And whether they come to Jesus or not, what is beginning to take place, and this is some of the results of what was beginning to take place, They're starting to talk about Jesus. Man. You know, these guys are tough. But I would imagine that they've been shackled to some prisoners who really gave them a runaround, right? You know, I've been in hospitals or nursing homes where I've heard patients and how tough they can be on nurses and doctors sometimes. But then I go in with a Jim Gothier, and he is just so gracious and humble and loving to those around him. And I just think of that, those guards, and they're like going, oh, hey, I just had my turn. I was just shackled with Paul. And I don't necessarily agree with this message because I kind of, you know, he's an atheist. You know, they would have called Christians and Jews atheists because they only believed in one God. You know, I don't necessarily agree with them, but wow, that 6 hours really made me think about my own life. Made me think about how I treat my wife and how I treat my kids. Just wonder, one by one by one, hundreds of men shackled to Paul, and the word is spreading about Jesus, and people are talking about Jesus. Verse 14, because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Another result of Paul living out the great commission of Jesus Christ. Then he says in verse 15, he says, you know, it's true. There are some who preach Christ out of envy. Maybe they're going around and they're sharing about Jesus because they want to become as popular as Paul. They're doing it out of rivalry or division. They're trying to get people to follow after them instead of getting people to follow after Jesus. But you know, others are preaching Christ out of goodwill. The latter do so in love. They are motivated by love. They're motivated by goodwill. Knowing that I am put here for the defense, the apologian, where we get our word apology or apologetics, that I have been put here for the defense of the gospel. You see, the former preach Christ out of selfish ambition. Ambition is not a bad thing. Paul ties ambition to selfish, and whether your ambition is selfish or selfless. There were some who were preaching Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But man, what, you know what? What does it matter? People are hearing about Jesus, and that's all that matters to me. The important thing, he says, is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. There are some people who were preaching Christ because maybe they wanted to become just as popular as Paul, or more popular than Paul, or they wanted people to follow them instead of follow what they thought. They were following Paul when they were really following Jesus. And you had some people that maybe they weren't doing it sincerely. I would imagine, you know, could you imagine that there's this one guy and his wife, she's telling him about Jesus and you know, he goes and he hangs out with the guys. He's like, man, I just can't stand this. My wife just keeps talking about Jesus over and over and over again. And the guy's like, well, what are you talking about? Well, it's like Jesus this and Jesus that, and she's always going off with these God lovers, and you know, her interests have changed, and just everything about her has changed. And well, tell me a little bit more. Well, you know, she tells about Jesus and how our sins can be forgiven, right, and we can get a brand new start. Go on. And, you know, and how, you know, they experience joy for the first time, and they have this weight lifted off of them. And it could be this guy here has just had something terrible happen in his life. And you've got a guy right next to him, and he's just preaching Christ. Not sincerely, right? But this guy over here, he's listening to this, and he's listening to this story of how his world is being turned upside down. He's like, dude, where's your wife go to church? You know? What motivates you? You've already heard two stories of people who have been motivated to share the good news of Jesus Christ, and it doesn't matter whether she's thrown into a prison in China, she's going to do it. She's going to smuggle Bibles into China. Well, let's maybe not put this out on the internet. No. But you know what? Talked about this earlier in class. Is God safe? Don't fear the one who can kill the body. Fear the one who can throw both the body and the soul in hell. There are people whose lives and purpose, their motivation is love. Love for God. They see God sending his one and only son to come and die on a cross for us. And they're motivated to share Jesus. Preach Christ. Or you've got some who are motivated out of love for their neighbors. They're motivated out of love for their parents or their grandparents or their friends or their coworkers. And so what do? They share Jesus. They preach Christ. What are you motivated by? And are you motivated at all to preach Christ? What circumstances do you find yourself in? What are you motivated by? What are some of the results? I love what Paul says. He says, you know, the important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. When we talked about how Peter was communicating about the sufferings that Christians were going through in this time frame, and he talked about joy. He talked about the joy that you can have as you come and you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, but then you can also re-joy. That joy can be restored to you. You can have that joy. You can feel that lightness of your sins being forgiven, but sometimes things happen. Circumstances take place, and you no longer have that joy. And so we find our joy in Jesus Christ, but then we rejoice, and we gain it back. And the joy that Paul had was, for one, I would imagine that he is seeing one by one Praetorian guards giving their lives to Jesus Christ. I would imagine that as he is hearing story after story of, you know, people getting the idea that, you know, here Paul has discipled Timothy, and Timothy is discipling others, and others are discipling others, and he hears these stories one after one after one of marriages being restored and people getting a whole different outlook on life, and they're no longer depressed. They're no longer plagued by demonic forces. They're living free. They've been forgiven. They have peace with God because they've experienced the grace of God. And Paul, man, he's in this rented quarters just rejoicing because of what's taking place. And you know what? We do have proof that there were people who were coming to know Jesus Christ within Caesar's household. One of the results, if you turn to Philippians chapter 4, the last couple of verses says this. As he often does when he is ending his letters, he says, "Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings. All the saints send you greetings." Check this out. This is awesome. Okay? Remember, he's shackled to these guards. All the Praetorian Guard are talking about Paul and talking about this Jesus that Paul talks about. And he is sending greetings to the Philippians from all the saints, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. When Paul writes this, he is writing during the time. Anybody of you know what emperor it is? One of the cruelest emperors. Yes. There were people in Caesar's household that God got a hold of. They had surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ, and now they're going, oh, I mean, could you imagine? So, you know, they had their assignments, right? They had their 6 hours. They're shackled with Paul. I kind of want to go back and listen to him a little bit more. Maybe I can't be shackled to him, but I'm just going to go hang out in his rented quarters for a little bit more, right? They give their lives to Christ, and they find out, Paul, what are you doing? Oh, hey, I'm writing my brothers and sisters who live in Philippi. Hey, Would you just tell them how much we appreciate them and love them? I know they've been a support to your ministry. Will you just send them greetings from us? Yeah, I'll do that. These tough, burly guys feared, right? Now they fear God. Now they've surrendered to no one but Nero, but now Jesus is Lord of their lives, and they tell Paul, hey, will you send greetings on to them and thank them for how much of a support they have been to you? Yeah, I can do that. Friends, deciding to preach Christ, it might mean your circumstances will change. It could mean friendships will change. Maybe they'll change and they'll transform for the better because you're diving in deeper into each other's lives. And you're truly there to support each other and to love one another. But it could be that you might lose a friendship or two. Circumstances may change if you preach Christ. But I want you to know that if you surrender yourself on a day-by-day-by-day basis, the circumstances you are in, whether it's you've lost a job, you've lost someone to death, you've lost a husband, somebody's walked out on you, whatever it might be, by you surrendering your life to Jesus Christ and continuing to love him, continuing to go to him, continuing to have a relationship with him, even in the midst of those circumstances, by you praising him through that and finding your joy in spite of that, people might start talking. Wow, there's something really different about them. Their attitude is so different. I don't know if I could handle what they're having to handle. We just got word this week that Michelle's cousin's husband, Greg, has a week to live. I don't think they're any older than we are. Last time Michelle and I were out in Southern California, Michelle and I and Greg, we would go run these incredible hills there. I'm like, Lord, you could call me here. That'd be okay, you know. And to know that Greg, who is always taking care of himself, that there's nothing more doctors can do, and he's got a week. And he's got two little children, a 10-year-old boy who's worried about the bills. We also got a letter from Michelle's brother, Rex, who has brain cancer again and going through treatments and had an MRI on Friday. And though he doesn't know the results yet, he'll know this next week, his outlook is just off the charts amazing. And it has everything to do with him and his relationship with Jesus Christ, and even in this letter, sharing not only what it means for him to have a relationship with Christ, but what it can mean for us. My prayer is that no matter what circumstance you are in, that you'll continue to hold on to the God who holds on to you. And that because of that, people might go, tell me a little bit more about this Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, I know that our circumstances could change as a result of us having a commitment to preaching Christ, to sharing about Jesus and the way that he's changed our lives. And I know, Lord, that there is a way that no matter how good or bad the circumstances are, that because of our response to what is going on around us, people might start talking about Jesus. And it might give us an opportunity to share with them why we're still holding on to Jesus Christ, even though times are tough. Lord, will you motivate us by love, a deep and abiding love for you, and then a passionate and compassionate love for those around us? And Lord, I do pray for those results. That as we step up, get in the game, surrender our lives to you, and decide that we're just going to share something about Jesus. I don't have a Bible degree or seminary degree. I'm an engineer. I'm a flight attendant. But I know Jesus. I'm getting to know Jesus more, and I want more people to know him more. Father, I pray that the results would be us having a spirit-filled boldness where we don't have any fear. Conquer our fears, Lord. And then help us to experience the joy that Mary has, the joy that Jeanne has, the joy that Paul had when he could rejoice in the fact that there were people who were one by one by one by one deciding that you were going to be the love of their life. We love you, Father. Amen.